It's been my practice in the sermons that I have that I give you a word for the day and for the week so that you can think of that word and then call back the theme for today, which has to do with the word for the day, which is, oh, I have it in my hands. Maybe you up close can see what they are. What are they?
Seeds.
They're seeds, yes. Now, someone tell me, what do you do with seeds? You plant them, and after you plant them, what do you think is going to happen with those seeds? They grow. I'm finished. Mary, let's go. Except I have not told you how the seeds are connected to what's going to happen in the sermon today. So listen carefully to the sermon today, because seeds are going to have a major, major part in the sermon today. All right, this is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. The worship service is going to be in the worship folder that you have in front of you. And the opening hymn is hymn number 255, Open Now Thy Gates of Beauty. Let us rise for the opening liturgy, which you find on page 3 of the worship folder. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and
do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all of your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Protector of all the faithful, you alone make strong, you alone make holy. Show us your mercy and forgive our sins day by day. Guide us through our earthly lives, that we do not lose the things you have prepared for us in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first lesson for this fifth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. In chapter 17, we'll read verses 22 through 24. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the field will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. So far, the reading of the first lesson. Our psalm of the day is Psalm 92. You find that on page 5 of the worship folder.
Thank you.
second lesson for today is found in the New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 1. We'll read verses 3 through 8. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So far, the reading of the second lesson. The gospel is found in St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, where we begin reading with the 26th verse. Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. So far, the reading of the gospel. Please be seated. We continue with the hymn of the day, which is hymn number 188, Creator Spirit, by whose aid? Thank you. It's pretty much a generally accepted truth that bigger is better. People want things to grow, don't they? To get bigger, to not remain the same. Businesses that begin from scratch have it in their business plans that they want to grow. They want to get bigger. And it's only when one business or corporation gets so big that governments and people begin thinking of cutting that company down to size. Why? To enable the little guy to get bigger. This bigger is better thinking carries over into our gardening and yard care, doesn't it? We plant plants in the hope that they're going to grow and they're going to get bigger. We watch with the utmost care the growth of our children, don't we? All the way from their physical heights and weights to their social, academic, and psychological growth. Cities grow. Populations of countries grow. Your plans that you make grow on a day-by-day or week-by-week basis. The economy grows. Things get bigger. Bigger is better. But there is another side to the coin, isn't there? It is not to the church's credit that it took ecologists and others concerned with the environment to help us realize that small is beautiful. The environmentalist and former Secretary of the Interior, Stuart Udall, was speaking to a group of people one day, and he said these profound words. At this moment in history, we need to realize that bigger is not better. Slower may be faster, and less may well mean more. Our Christian church should have recognized and known this already from such parables as we find in our text for today, that gospel reading that we just read from the lectern from St. Mark's Gospel. In these parables, Jesus teaches that the smallest seeds grow the largest plants. And we've often heard it said, haven't we, that from a small acorn grows a great oak? And our Savior Jesus Christ raised the ante to the superlatives when he said in our text for this morning, from the smallest of seed grows the largest of plants. And so this morning we want to apply this principle to the kingdom of God as we consider that theme from smallest to largest. Now, we already know that the various items in the parables that Jesus told stood for things or for something. And in our text, the smallest seed is the Word of God. And we want to keep that thought in our minds for the rest of the sermon message. The smallest seed is the Word of God. It's the Bible. It's the Holy Scriptures. And that Word of God is totally made up of nothing but words. Years ago, words were important. Why, agreements between people, treaties among nations, contracts drawn up between businesses were all made with just words, and many of them were just spoken words and a handshake. For the good word of a man made him trustworthy and gave him stature among people. But words today are generally disdained and they become weak and ineffective. And you know why. It's because so many of them have been used in lies and cover-ups and shields from the truth. Especially in our Western world, words have dwindled down to have so little value. And because of this, it's so tough for people today to place their full confidence in a little seed, God's Word. It is really hard to do because people are wary and they're not trusting and they're skeptical of words, including God's Word. The seed is so small and it's so lacking in any kind of life that it is difficult for people to see the potential power that's packed within every single little seed. When Mary and I lived in the Midwest, with our congregation of Iowa farmers, I was always amazed at planting time at the few sacks of corn and bean seeds that were stacked in just one little corner of a farmer's barn. And those few sacks of corn and bean seeds were to plant acres and acres and acres of vacant plowed fields. And that's exactly what those few sacks of seeds did. They did plant acres and acres and acres of empty plowed fields. And then it took the faith and trust on the part of the farmer to see a future field of fertile plants all locked up in just those few sacks of shriveled up seeds. The power of seeds, the power of God's word, can be well illustrated, I think, in something that you've all used and probably experienced, just like I have. You've probably done the same thing that I have too. Something in your home has broken, and so then you dutifully gather all the broken pieces together and your trusty tube of super glue, and you begin gluing all those pieces together. But in the process, you've got that smallest amount of super glue between a finger and a thumb, and that gives you nightmares trying to get those things unstuck, because you see super glue has power. Words, and in particular, God's word, has power. Think for a moment of the words, "I love you." And now think of the words, "Get out of my life forever." Those words can either establish or break a relationship. What power is contained in these words? God's word is power also. We read God's word as Paul wrote it in Romans chapter 1. "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God." Words make up the gospel, and gospel is part of God's power. Think for a moment of the acronym for the New Testament. That acronym is TNT. And you know that TNT is dynamite. God's word is dynamite. In Martin Luther's well-known Reformation hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," in stanza 3, we sing these words, "One little word can fell him." One little word. And that's one seed of God's word right here. Can fell him. That means Satan. Just one word can down Satan. God's word has power. God's word is also good seed. And good seed is essential for growth. No matter how rich your soil may be, it will produce nothing good unless that seed is good. Now, the soil in the parables today are people like you and me, just like people who are living over the whole wide world. And the soil in the parables are the people like you and me, right? The soil is nothing more than the place where the seed lodges after it has been sown. Now, the cultivation and rain and sunshine are all here taken for granted. The soil, the people that the seed is sown in, has absolutely no life of its own. And it can produce no life of its own, because you see, all the life is in that little seed of God's word. Now, knowing this to be true, we correctly conclude that people need to have the seed of God's word sown in them. People have no spiritual life of their own. And so the word of God and the power that's in the word of God can have a mighty effect on them, because it has the power to turn lives around, to cause people to recognize that there is sin in this world of ours, and there is sin in every single human being. And once that sin is recognized, then people come running to the foot of the cross. running to the foot of the cross with repentant hearts, and they're asking for forgiveness of their sins from Jesus Christ, our Savior, the only one who was able to die on Calvary's cross on Good Friday and then rise again alive victoriously on Easter morning. This saving work God wants to have planted in your hearts, first of all. And then when that seed of the word has taken root in your heart, then you can be used as one of God's sowers to sow that same sort of seed into the hearts of many other people. This is the reason that God in his word continually urges us to be in the word. From Romans 10, we read these words. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Aren't those fantastic words? Our own faith is planted in our hearts from being in the word. And then we who are in the word are the messengers to others as they hear from us the saving message of salvation through Jesus Christ, and it's all from the word. Is it any wonder then that one of the great themes that runs through sermons of many pastors is simply be in the word. Come to church on a regular basis. Come to Bible class. Come to Sunday school. Enroll your children in our Christian day school. Tell the seeds of God's word to your spouse, your children, your extended families, your friends, your co-workers, your school friends, your neighbors, and the like. Then and only then will the good seed of God's word be able to be planted and grow in your heart, and then in the hearts of others as you share the seeds of God's word. And isn't that exactly what we are doing right here at St. Mark's in Citrus Heights? We have regularly scheduled worship services every single weekend of every single year. We have Bible classes, we have Sunday school, we have a Christian day school, we have any number of organizations in our congregation, and every single one of those organizations has as its main purpose to sow the seed of God's word in your hearts, first of all, and then you are to go out of these walls to whomever you meet in your everyday lives and share that seed of God's word with them. Let your prayer be to the Lord of heaven and earth that he will bless the efforts that we are doing right here in our congregation. Pray that Almighty God will move you to be in the word, and if you're already in the word, to be more in the word than you ever have been, so that you can be used as his special messengers of the saving words of salvation. Now, as with the planting of seeds in a farmer's field, growth is gradual, but it is inevitable. You see, there is a certain mystery involved in the cycle of planting and growing. The seed is sown, and then the farmer waits for that seed to grow. He really doesn't know how it grows, but he knows that it can grow, and it will grow. The cycle of planting and growing is automatic. The scriptures offer us the comforting assurances that God's word is going to grow, and it will be effective. And it does grow. And it is really effective. Let's hear God's word as Isaiah spoke them years ago from the Old Testament. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire. And it are the seeds of God's word. And again from Paul, as the Lord had him write them in 1 Corinthians 15, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so we know from God's word that's sown into our hearts that word of God is never, ever going to come back to God empty-handed. The words of the Lord are never wasted. God's word, you see, are living words, and they are living words that have power. They have power to change lives. They have power to change your life. They have power to change my life. they have power to change the lives of everyone else out there. Are you ready to begin experiencing the sowing of God's word? Those little seeds of the word? His word can do mighty things because his word is power. As God's word begins to be sown in us and by us, expect growth, although it may be gradual. Our text tells us this: first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. Now, this gradual process is rather hard for us to accept because we live in our age today when everybody wants everything instantaneously. Because ours is a can't-wait society, isn't it? We want it, and we want it now, and yesterday would have been better. But remember what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with the seeds of God's word. We have the promises and assurances of our Lord that the seeds sown are never, ever going to come back to him empty. They're always going to produce what he wants them to produce. Never will they return to him without doing something. And that something is always going to be according to his goodwill. Now, all he wants you and me to be concerned with is one thing, just one thing. Sow the seed. And that is our mission right here at St. Mark's. Sow the seed. That's what we are accomplishing. Everyone, from the youngest person in our congregation to the oldest, from the smallest to the largest, we are all an integral part of that mission of our church to sow the seed. When the tiny mustard seed is sown, it really seems impossible that so large a tree can eventually grow from that one seed, but it can, and it does. Think of that tiny mustard seed as the whole kingdom of God, the whole company of believers, past, present, future. It surely started out small. It only started out with those 12 humble, simple disciples. But look how it has grown. Through the efforts of those 12 simple, humble disciples and the faithful work to those that they sowed the seed to, the word of God has spread to this giant plant. People all over the world now have heard of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they are continuing to proclaim that good news of the seeds of God's word. And now you and I can participate in the work that Christ has left us to accomplish when he ascended back into heaven on Ascension Day. His parting words to his disciples that day and his words to you and me today are still the same. Here they are. Go into all the world, preaching, teaching, and baptizing. What that simply means is, sow the seed. Get it out, get it planted. And the time to get it out and get it planted is right now. We can do it. Let your prayer be in the words of one of our familiar hymns from our hymn book. It's hymn number 573. Hark the voice of Jesus calling. The last four words of stanza 1 and stanza 4 are all the same. Here they are. Send me. Send me. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. If you would take your worship folders again, we will confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you find printed for us on page 8.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of by the God who was there. He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Please be seated. The ushers will come forward now to gather the offering. Continue our worship service with the prayer of the church, which is printed out for you on page 9 of the worship folder. Let us rise. One special intercession has been asked for today. It comes from our synodical president and concerns the actions of the Supreme Court dealing with gay marriage this past week. We will include that prayer as an intercession under special prayers in the prayer. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them. Heal those who bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Lord God, we are grieved that an institution of our government has taken an action that undermines the precious institution of marriage in our country. More importantly, it is an action that takes a wonderful gift that you created and distorts it into something you, the giver, never intended. We pray today for our country, asking that you would have mercy on a nation that has once again ignored your word and will. We pray for our churches and schools, asking that you would give them courage, wisdom, and strength to continue to hold true to your teachings. And we ask that you would bless all the members of our synod and our congregation with the continuing commitment to hold fast to the truth you have taught us, no matter what kinds of pressure or temptations this sinful world places on us. Above all, help us to continue to use law and gospel, not to change society or laws, but to change hearts. Use our faithful witness to bring others to true repentance and to find perfect healing and forgiveness at the foot of our Savior's cross. As we live in these last days, Lord, we pray with believers of all time, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies, our minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We bring ourselves to you, that we may serve you in whatever ways pleasing to your sight.
Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the next hymn, which is hymn 755, Your Kingdom, O God, is My Glorious Treasure. It's found in the blue hymnal. Let us rise for the last prayers. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, Pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace now and forevermore.
Amen.
Our final hymn is the closing hymn, hymn 323, Almighty Father, Bless the Word.
Seated. Once again, welcome to St. Mark's on this fifth Sunday of Pentecost. If we have any visitors in our midst today, we will certainly welcome you to our midst and pray that you might find your way back to our services once again to hear more of Christ Jesus, the seeds of his word, and how they can be implemented into your life. The announcements for the day will be given by Pat.
Good morning, and I'd like to also welcome you to worship. It's especially wonderful, and we have our visitors here today, and we thank you for coming to join us. Join us again soon. For those that don't know me, as Pastor Bartelt said, I'm Patrick Walker. I'm former principal, teach fifth and sixth grade at our school, and the lot has fallen to me to give announcements today, since all of our called workers Almost all of our called workers are on vacation today. And it's a wonderful thing that they do get a chance to take a vacation. You all know within your own employment how important it is that you get away and you get a chance to recharge your batteries. I would say even more so with called workers, because it gives a chance for them to spend time in the Word so that their faith can be strengthened and they can be recharged to lead you as we look forward to them doing in the new year. It's great to celebrate the past 50 years, and now I think we'll be ready to get going with our next 50 years in the weeks ahead. I have a couple of announcements that I'd like to bring to your attention. I think we're ready to go with the Wells Connection, but that's the first thing that we're gonna be talking about. Is if you want to see a little bit more about what we're going to be viewing in our Wells Connection, there's an insert in the bulletin. The Wells Connection, if you're not familiar with our church, is a video that's published periodically, and it tells about the work that we're doing in our worldwide church, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. So I invite you to view the video.